Welcome to the podcast, everybody. I'm your host, Matt Smith. So thankful that you wanted to take the time out of your day to be able to listen to this episode. Before we get into our guest, I want to go ahead and thank our presenting sponsor, Optimum Nutrition Athletics. We all know that protein is the key to muscle recovery, and best-selling gold standard 100% whey protein provides 24 grams of protein that mixes easily using just a glass and spoon. Gold standard 100% whey is made in their state-of-the-art facility. It's banned substance tested by Informed Choice. And with Optimum Nutrition Athletic Program, you can get different products such as their Pro Gainer, which is their mass gainer, their protein snacks, which are their crisp bars, wafers, cake bites, and almonds. And after dominating the sports and nutrition industry for over 30 years, newly created Optimum Nutrition Athletics brings that same trust and quality and knows how to put convenient options for protein in the hands of athletes who desire to become bigger, stronger, and better at their sport. If this is something that you're interested in getting for your athletes or into your facility, down in the show notes, we have Dave Harvey of Optimum Nutrition Athletics, where you can email him on how to get those products into your facility. If you're a strength and conditioning coach, or if you're a facility owner, I highly suggest that you reach out to Dave. They've got wonderful products. Like I said, their powders are absolutely wonderful. The go-to snacks, I mean, they're awesome, man. He sent me some. I've been able to have some myself, and I'm just very thankful to be able to try those and have them be our presenting sponsor of the podcast. So again, reach out to Dave Harvey of Optimum Nutrition Athletics for all your needs, and he's got what you need down there in the show notes. And now for our guest this week, guess who's back? Yes, he's back again. Clay Bewley. It's the second time being on the podcast here. Very excited to have everybody. He talks about velocity-based training in this episode. It's really wonderful because it's something I've always been interested in. Always, you know, kind of read and seen some stuff online about it. So it's kind of great to kind of get the insights and how he uses that at the high school level and everything like that. So Clay does a wonderful job. Make sure you guys are following him on social media. Make sure you guys reach out to our presenting sponsor, Optimum Nutrition Athletics, down in the show notes. If you want to follow Clay, his information is down in the show notes as well, as long as Dave Harvey of Optimum Nutrition Athletics. Thank you to everybody that listens to the podcast, that supports this podcast. Make sure you give it that 5 stars on Apple review. Share it with your friends. Share it with other coaches. If you ever have any feedback or anything like that, always hit us up on social media. That's also down in the show notes as well. And everybody, stay strong. What's up, guys? Strength Talking Shop podcast. We've got a reoccurring guest, Clay Bewley of Estrella High School out in Arizona. I am super pumped to have him on. Today we're going to talk about velocity-based training, train high school kids. What's going on, Clay?
Yo, what up, Matt? Hey, it was a pleasure to be on the first time, and it's an honor to be on the second time. Thank you for inviting me back. I've been listening to a ton. You know, it's always great when you see your name on the podcast, but I think it's even better when you start seeing, like, friends and colleagues' names on the podcast. And, you know, you're really doing a great thing here, and happy that enough people have enjoyed my thoughts to have me back on.
Yeah, man. You have connected me with some great coaches. Glenn, who's going to be the episode coming up here real soon. So
Big Rig. Yep.
What was your guys' nickname for him? Cerebral.
The Cerebral Behemoth.
Man, that's perfect.
He's a big, strong dude. They always called me Freak Dad, which was making fun of my minimal athleticism. thanks guys, appreciate that. And so
you haven't listened to the episode yet because it hasn't been out yet, but we actually do talk about that on the episode where he talks
Freak Dad. Oh,
talks about your unathleticism, but in a good way. He talks about it in a good way.
It's bad.
Well, we'll go ahead and get into it, man. So I know, obviously, the last time we talked was right before the world went to shut down.
It was about a year ago this time, and what a difference a year makes, man. What a difference a year makes.
How have you kind of handled, we talked beforehand a little bit, how have you kind of handled sifting through the protocols and stuff like that, being with your athletes? What does it look like?
Well, honestly, when it comes to programming, because I never know if I'm going to get shut down, and I never know how long I'm going to have, and so I've pretty much switched everything to a week-to-week undulating basis because I have no idea what's going to happen the next week. You know, every time I start, you know, start planning, progressing farther out, then things get shut down, other you know, things get changed. So I've just kind of been going week to week. I know, you know, a lot of you know, linear periodization purists are probably like, that's sacrilege, but it is what it is. But you don't know if you're going to be able to stay open. You know, it's tough to make plans for the next week. So I pretty much shifted all of my programming to a in-season undulating model, and we just take it week by week, and I readdress where the athletes are at and adjust and kind of go from there. We have certain exercise limitations. We're not allowed to spot athletes because we have to maintain our distance in the weight room. I have some number limitations. I can only have 2 kids per rack. With that, I can only have, you know, those 2 kids share equipment, so they can't share equipment with everybody else. If they have to share, it has to be sanitized before. If you touch it, you clean it. Sanitizer on your hands when you come in, sanitizer on your hands when you come out, mask on the whole time, open the doors up for ventilation. And so it's been a lot. And the biggest thing that's led to success with all these is being real and being honest with the kids. It's like, guys, yeah, I know this is inconvenient. Guys, I know this is a struggle. I know this is not optimal. I know all these things. But if this means that we can stay open and we can train and we can do what we do and we can do what we love to do and we can prepare for our games, we can prepare for success, then let's jump through these hoops. And one thing I do to show that the kids that, hey, I'm no better than you guys, is when I'm training at the school, even if I'm in the weight room alone, I have my mask on when I'm training. Some people might say like, oh, that's asinine. You're by yourself. Who are you gonna spread it to? Well, it's not so much because of that, is to show that, hey, I'm willing to do this too. I'm willing to feel what you guys feel when I'm training, so that when the kids say, coach, I need to catch a breath, I cannot breathe with this thing on, I know exactly where they're coming from. And yes, take a second, go outside, pull it down, catch some air real quick. I'll watch you and watch the room. I'll kind of be half in the door, half out the door. I want to make sure you're safe. And the kids have responded great. You know, there hasn't been too much kickback with things, just the occasional like, this sucks comment, which is like, yeah, it does. Can't argue with that one. And so it's just trying to, you know, do the best for the kids. And oh, and lots of times, in order to facilitate all the athletes, I only get like 30 to 35 minutes per group, including warm-up time. And so it's basically cut out as much fluff as possible, simplify, streamline, and try to get it all done. And sorry, guys, if you don't get it done in 35 minutes, go and clean up, because I got another group coming in 5, one group at a time. Sorry about it. And so it's, you know, it hasn't been perfect. It hasn't been seamless, but we get a little better every week, and that's kind of what it's all about.
That is, man. I love how you said that, you know, get the fluff out of there. I love that. And you know, I like to use the term trim the fat off the program. How have you been able to do that? What have you kind of done to expedite that?
So in order to expedite that, in a year ago, you know, back before the madness, I would have questioned my own thought process on this, but you know, I'm a big Olympic lift guy. Love the clean, love the jerk. Love snatch variations. I think they have a ton to offer to athletes, but they do take a little bit of time to clean, teach and to drill. And so we've kind of eliminated those lifts. We've gone for more simplified lifts, various pulls from the ground, speed on more power lifts, and you know, standard lifts. And we'll get into that when we get into the velocity-based training portion and loaded jumps, and kind of taking things out of there. And I've been slowly starting reintroducing the Olympic lifts with different barbell complexes and stuff like that. And then also multi-joint exercises, and really just going off of basic human movements, making sure, you know, there's at least one explosive lift per, making sure there's, you know, one push, one pull for upper body, lower body, one frontal plane, one anti-rotation, and that's pretty much it. And so we're really banking on about 6 exercises per, and really the only joint isolation movement we really do is hamstring based, usually, you know, a roller leg curl of some kind, a single leg bridge of some kind, or even or a Nordic curl, once I'm able to, like, you know, have an athlete be able to hold another one's feet, and so stuff like that. And so that's the only time we really go joint isolation. Other than that, it's all multi-joint, everything to get as much bang for our buck.
Man, that's awesome. One thing that I find to be kind of interesting, and I want to get your opinion on this, is, you know, you talked about it a second ago, like, you could be shut down at any moment.
Yeah.
How important is it for you And I think this is for all coaches at all levels to have a set of movements that your athletes are proficient in. So if you do get shut down and you have to prescribe it to them outside of the weight room, so like maybe they're doing it at home, that they're able to do that proficiently. You know what I mean? Because I feel like sometimes if it's too complex, they're not going to be able to do it once they get outside of the weight room.
Exactly. And one thing that's been really great, the one thing we actually did is about this time a year ago is when we actually purchased our software through Training with Push. That's who we do our velocity-based training with. Cool. And we actually completely repurposed their portal and their app. You know, normally that's done for, you know, in the weight room, tracking in the weight room. And that's usually what it's used for. We completely repurposed that so that we could do distance training with our athletes and we converted our entire PE department into basically fitness classes where the kids let us know, you know, what they have access to, either a home gym or a commercial facility where they have access to equipment, partial equipment, which is basically, you know, stuff you can get from a sporting goods store, a pair of dumbbells, band, med ball, stuff like that, or a body weight. I have nothing. And so what we've been able to do is for, you know, because I think we have about 250 kids somewhere around there enrolled in our various PE classes, we're able to send them out daily workouts to account for their credit. It hasn't been perfect, and you know, there's been some mishaps and stuff like that when trying to, you know, repurpose a product for a, you know, for a different function than what it's normally used for. But we've been able to, you know, pretty well run our PE department from a distance, and you know, that all started because, you know, at first we were talking about, you know, leading fitness classes with our cameras on and like getting up and moving around, like, okay, guys, let's go do it. And it's like, man, I do not want to become a meme right now. We got to find another way to do this. And, and so it's worked out pretty well. And, you know, and we really, and with those at-home trainings, we really do focus on, you know, movements that the kids can be proficient at. You know, some sort of squat, some sort of hid, some sort of single leg variation, usually either, you know, forward lunge, reverse lunge, split squat, something along those lines, a standard, you know, vertical press, horizontal row, and vertical row. The toughest part is when kids have nothing and you have to program some pulls in there. It's like, well, you gotta pull on something. And so getting creative with towel variations and dowel rod inverted rows and finding ways along those lines is basically how we transitioned our entire PE department to using this at-home software. But and the other benefit to this, which is helping kids, is we give them 24 hours to be able to complete their training. And so if you need a break in the midday, that's cool. Do it at night. If you're a morning person, do it in the morning. If you want to do it at lunch, do it at lunch. If you want to do it at class time, do it at class time. So it gives kids a lot of freedom and a lot of flexibility. Because during the distance learning part, you know, we're on a block schedule, so we have 75-minute classes. Right. And so I can, at the end of the day, I've had kids who have been staring at a screen for three classes for 75 minutes a pop. That's a long time to be staring at a screen. And so it gives them the flexibility that if, hey, you need a break, take a break. Just get it done some point in the day. And have kids take advantage of that? Yeah, of course they have. Some have, but we've had a lot of success with that. It's not perfect, but it's provided it really has provided our students with a good alternative with PE during the distance learning phases of school.
That's great because you've given them another platform to be able to help them out in the long term. I think that's wonderful, man. I think it's awesome that you guys invested into something like that, but
it's been great. So shout out to our AD and admin for paying for it.
No, that really is. I mean, that is, and we're going to get into VPT here now, but I think for the investment side of it, look at how that's helped so many kids. And just fitness in a time where health is very, very important in our society, you know? So let's go ahead and get into VPT training. I was slightly introduced to this back in like 2013. We had a Tendo unit. We had a couple of them. So way back in the day. And we used them on our level 3 guys. But I'm always interested in it. It's something that I've kind of dipped my toes in and learned a little bit, but can you kind of walk us through how you use that in the high school ranks?
Okay. Yeah. And so first of all, VBT means nothing if you can't move proficiently and you can't produce some force and you don't have a decent amount of strength. If you got a kid who can't goblet squat, you know, a 60-pound goblet, he's not going to get much out of VBT. If you're somebody who's, you know, you can't you know, you're struggling pulling 95 pounds off the ground in some form of deadlift, you're probably not going to get that much better with VBT. So you have to be able to have a strength line. So, you know, once you're getting onto block zero, getting into block one is a really good time to start introducing that once you start having some basic strength. What I really love about it is the auto-regulation side of it, because especially with kids that, you know, you might begin at the end of their day, you might begin in the middle of their day. You know, kids who are club or year-round athletes, they might be feeling good one day, not feeling good another day. And prescribing the speed ranges auto-regulate their performance. So like, let's say, for example, after the warm-up, and our first superset is usually like a move well set. So something along the lines of like a kettlebell swing, a lateral lunge for two sets, just to kind of loosen up and get a little bit more, just get some weighted movements after the general warm-up. And so like, if you're drained and we're doing front squats and you have to, and I want you in the accelerated phase, I want you, you know, somewhere between 0.6 and 1.0 meters per second, trying to move that front squat pretty quickly. And you just can't get it with the weight, with the start weight that I prescribed. Okay, well, you're pretty gassed right now. Let's take you down a little bit. Let's get you in the range. Or like, wow, you are flying off the hinges. We need a little bit more. You must have gotten a good night's rest. You must have eaten a good breakfast. You must be feeling pretty good. And then that also reaffirms those good habits. Like, hey, see how you're performing right now. This is because you had a good night's sleep. This is because you had a good breakfast. This is because you took taking care of yourself. Yeah. Oh yeah, I see. So it helps to reintegrate that. Or the flip side, you know, like, hey man, you're really struggling. What's going on? Oh, I didn't get good sleep. I didn't have breakfast. They're like, well, you're sure moving like crap right now. And so it also reaffirms that. Or, you know, let's say the flip side, they just had a, they did everything right, but they had a tough ass practice the night before. I had one of my wrestlers coming in and he was really struggling moving weight the other day. And I asked him, like, you feeling okay? He's like, yeah, it was just a really tough practice the other day. And it was, and you know, and I'm one of the few heavies we have. And man, I did a lot more than what I normally do. It's like, oh, I can tell you're pretty gassed right now. Let's take things down. Let's change you up. And so it allows that to happen because his normal weights he was really struggling with. And so the auto regulation is great. One thing I also love about velocity based training is just tracking your athlete's progress, because you know, in the old days it was, you know, the only way you really track progress is if you did the previous weight for more reps or you did the same amount of reps with more weight. That was the only way to tell. But now what I can do is I can take a load, have the kid move it on week one, and then move that same load 5 weeks later, and I can see the progress without adding any additional stress on the student with the load, and they're showing more explosiveness. Because if you have an athlete, like, let's just say trap bar deadlift too, you know, a great one, you know, that athlete was able to, you know, average mean velocity, let's say 0.4, you know, you know, not really moving it that fast. Good for a maximal strength range and absolute strength range. They're moving that for 0.4 meters per second. Five weeks later, now they're moving it for 0.6. That athlete has gotten stronger, more explosive, because they are moving that weight at a faster rate. Force equals mass times acceleration. You are now moving that. You are producing more force. You have gotten better, and I have not had to excessively load you during that time. And that's been huge for us, really trying to get the optimal load versus an excessive load, especially during our return to play protocols. Once we got back from quarantine and we could actually start training our athletes again, because even athletes that were training to the best that they could, either on their own or private facilities or whatever it had to be, or kids who hadn't done anything, they were very much in a detrained state. So I had to be very cautious about how I trained them. You know, the last thing you want to do, and it cringes every time I see it on Twitter, is, you know, these coaches, we got to make up for lost time. We got to go hard. No, you don't. You don't make up for lost time, because time cannot be made up. It's in its nature. You can't make up for something that's already passed. You have to start them from where they're at and progress to where they can eventually go. You can't make up for anything. And so it's starting them out, reacclimating them to training. And then once we have a good enough base, whether that, you know, be 2 to 5 weeks, you know, or even longer, depending on where your kid is at, then you can start introducing this, and you can start actually showing and start expressing the improvements in their strength, in their velocity. And then finally, I love the competition that it creates in the weight room, especially with male athletes. Oh my gosh, it's awesome watching them compete, trying to move the weight faster. and faster. And if they're moving the weight faster, they're getting more explosive at the same time. So those are all benefits of it. How I've been able to implement the programming is, you know, definitely not how I thought I would go into. And, you know, if somebody's unfamiliar with velocity-based training, please read Dr. Mann's book, Practical Application for, I messed that title up, but Dr. Mann's book, you know, A Guide to Velocity-Based Training.
Yeah.
Great. And a book I read recently, Velocity-Based Training for Weightlifting by Will Fleming, is also a great book for velocity-based training, but it's in particular with the weightlifting side of things. And so in the weightlifting movement. But I've kind of been taking those out and I've been focusing more on the power lifts. And I really try to like to follow the force velocity curve during our training. So our training after the warm-up, after the move well set, it'll normally be, you know, speed strength movements, different weighted jumps, you know, either like a trap bar jump, dumbbell jump, hang jump shrug, along those lines, get a little bit more into the weightlifting movements and trying to move that very quick, very fast. Yep. with not that much weight. And then going into a speed strength movement, either that be an explosive pull from the ground with a bar, with a trap bar or a barbell, or even a faster speed squat type of thing going in there. And then as we get into our accelerative strength, but now there's a little bit more weight on the bar, you can take those implements that's already there and just continue stacking the weight, staying within those zones. And I really enjoy kind of my go-to split right now for both the accelerative and the absolute strength across the same exercise. So like, let's say if it's a trap bar deadlift, we'll do like 3 sets of 5 on the accelerative strength, trying to stay, you know, 0.6 to 1.0 meters per second, really trying to move it fast. And usually there'll be, you know, 50 to 60, maybe 65% during that time of an estimated 1 rep max. And they're really moving it quick and they're really priming themselves and they're really establishing those motor unit pathways and motor units for being able to handle the bigger loads. And usually yeah. We'll pair those with some other exercises as well. And so as they're moving through that 2 sets of 5, 3 sets of 5, and they accelerate, they're really also hammering in their form as well. And like with our deadlifts, with our trap bar, a cue that's been going really well is 1, 2, 3, lats, feet, hips, pull the lats, drive the feet, and then pull the hips, 1, 2, 3, go. And, you know, it's been working pretty well. Wish I would have thought of that one, you know, a couple of years ago, would have helped me out. But I know, isn't that true about all of our coaching? We wish we would have.
Dude, it always is. It always is.
Wish we would have figured this stuff out earlier. So those lighter sets are really moving it fast. And then they get primed for kind of their money sets, what I call the meat and potato time. The boys like that a lot, meat and potato time. And so that's usually like 4 sets of 3, 4 sets of 2, somewhere on those lines where they're really working that absolute strength. And just this past week, one of my football players / throwers, he was working 275 on the sets of 5, and he was flying through that. He was moving that, and he's a big strong kid. He's about 280 and about 6'1". He's a big strong kid. Woo. He's going to do some really good things. And plus, the thing I like the most about him, besides the fact that he's a really good player, he's also a really good human. I also really enjoy him. I know, you know, you can have a great athlete, but if that athlete's a jerk, it's not going to make much difference. But he was just flying through that 275 and moving that 275 really fast, close to the 1.0 meters per second. And so he was really, and then he started stacking weight on his absolute strength and end up pulling 425 for a set of 3, smashed his old personal record on that. And he's like, wow, coach, that 425 for 3 felt easier than my 405 for one that I did at the end of this, that I did at the end of the season. And some people might be like, oh, that's still not very much weight. Well, everything's relative. He was also transferred, didn't have the best program before he came to mind. So we got to build him up where he's at. So, you know, weight's relative. I'm sure there's some coaches like 425. I got my kids moving 700. I bet you do. Everything's all relative though.
Everybody does 700.
Exactly. Right. But that just goes to show that because the program is right, it set him up for success. And by the way, that session lasted, 35 minutes because we were able to keep him moving quick. Cause I had to, cause I didn't know the group coming in. And so just programming and riding that force velocity curve with the velocity based train has seen a lot of really good results, and the kids like it and they're able to stay pretty efficient. And with whatever digital platform you're using, whether it be like Train with Push or VMAX Pro or Perch or whatever type system, after a while the kids figure it out pretty well and they're able to get pretty proficient with it. Like our main lifters are pretty proficient with the push platform by now, and so they're able to kind of work through those little hitches here and there. You know, switching from peak to average velocity sometimes throws kids for a loop, and so I just got to help them up there, make sure your settings are correct, stuff like that. That's usually more the technical side, but once they get that figured out, they're usually pretty good. But our velocity based train has really produced a lot of great results in the limited time that we have. I mean, when you only got 35 minutes to train a kid and sometimes you only get them in twice a week, you got to make sure that every rep, every set counts. Otherwise, you're not going to get better in that limited time that you got. So it really allows you to dial in on what you're doing. And, you know, we have kind of limited time here on the podcast, but, you know, if you're interested in velocity based training, you know, those two books that I recommended, and there's tons and tons and tons of information out there on it. And if it's something that, you know, a school is interested in, they're always welcome to contact me and, you know, I can help out with whatever. And even if schools, you know, need help getting their administration on board purchasing, because it's not cheap at all. It's not cheap, you know, like anything good usually costs a little bit.
Yep.
But there's plenty of companies out there. I know, Train with Push, with their partnership with NHSSCA, little promo, they have some really good deals for high school coaches, and it's really showing a lot of validity. And if you look at velocity based training, it's getting more and more common in facilities. If you look at most Power Five colleges, they have it in some way, shape, or form. It's trickling into a lot of different aspects. And the thing that I love about it is it adds more validity into our profession, because it's adding the sports science part of it too. It's not just these meatheads clanging and banging, more weight, more weight, more weight, blah, blah, blah.
Exactly.
It's not that. What it's showing is like, this is data-driven results that's being carefully gathered, carefully analyzed, and reinterpreted to then get the optimal stress needed for these kids and for the athletes to show improvement. It's not just what I'm guessing, it's what I'm analyzing from what I have. And it adds a lot of validity. And especially for somebody who's maybe a little skeptical of strength conditioning, whether it be a sport coach or a parent or anything else, when you're able to show like, hey, this is what we do, this is our data behind it, you know, it really goes a long way for them to be like, wow, that's really cool. And we had a student, a great kid, great athlete, who recently moved into the area. And his father sent a very, very nice note to our principal and our AD, basically just saying, you know, you guys are running a collegiate level program at a high school. And it's very nice to see. And it's very nice knowing that my son is being taken care of. And of course that warms your heart anytime you hear those nice words. Because people can be very, very critical of anything that you do. And so, you know, for people to realize that you are putting a ton of care and a ton of thought and a ton of intent behind whatever we're doing is really wonderful.
You're a great coach, Clay. You got a great facility. You got a great everything, man. I'm just so happy to have you on here again and to kind of share all that information. If people want to reach out to you, learn more about VBT, or just to talk with you, how can they follow you on social media?
Pretty dang active, as you know, on social media, especially Instagram and Twitter. They're both under the same handle, Coach_Clay Bewley, B-E-W-L-E-Y, not Bueller. I've only gotten that one every day of my life. Bueller. Have you ever heard that one before? Nope. Never heard it before. Every sub teacher I've ever had in my life, never heard it before. But Coach_Clay Bewley, Instagram and Twitter is a great way to reach out to me.
Yep.
You can send me an email, clay.bewley@buhsd.org. And honestly, you guys can even just, you know, call and text me, 928-710-4582. You guys are always welcome. I can't promise I'll pick up or respond right away, but I promise I'll get I'll get back to you in a timely, efficient manner, the best I can. But love to help out anybody who's interested in this and wants to use this to help their athletes. Because at the end of the day, it is a tool to help your athletes. Yep. And, you know, I should have talked about this earlier. I'll make it real quick. It doesn't matter if you're running an Olympic style system. It doesn't matter if you're running a conjugate based system. It doesn't matter if you're running, you know, a traditional, even just, you know, standard strength training system. All velocity based training is a way for you to measure and analyze the data of your athletes. And so that's why it can be applied very well into a conjugate based program. If you're on, you know, a max effort upper body day, you can slap a unit on, and you can get some really good data to making sure that your max effort is max effort and not dynamic effort, and vice versa. If it's a dynamic effort day and you're not being very dynamic, you're not going to get much better out of it. you have to be dynamic in order to move dynamically. And so this style of training is not so much training, it's monitoring. It's analyzing the data. And so it can be applied into just about any program, just like, you know, a tier-based program. You know, you can use a tier system with a conjugate and Olympic weightlifting program. It's just organizing you. That's what the tier system is. It's an organization. Just like velocity-based training, it's a data analyzing session versus a whole new way of thinking. So it can be applied to a wide variety of different styles of training.
Well, I can't wait to dive into a little bit more. I learned a lot here on this episode with you, Clay. I can't thank you enough again for just being on here. So happy to have you on third, a fourth, a fifth time, man. Love having you on. Love talking with you.
Anytime you want me, as long as your listeners are getting something out of it, you know, I'm always willing to come on the pod. It's always a great thing.
Well, I appreciate you, Clay. You're somebody that's moving the profession forward. Guys, reach out to him if you got any questions. I can't thank you enough for being on the podcast. And everybody, stay strong. Look at that. You made it all the way to the end of the episode. Well, that's an awesome episode. So thank you so much for our sponsor, Optimum Nutrition Athletics. Make sure you guys reach out to Dave Harvey of Optimum Nutrition Athletics on how you can get that into your facility. Again, his information is down in the show notes. Thank you to our guests this week. Thank you to everybody that supports the podcast. Make sure you give it that 5 stars on Apple Podcast or wherever you get your podcast at. And everybody, stay strong.